To grow your business, you have to market your business. That takes a plan, a strategy, and a team that knows how to implement it. That's what we do for our clients every day. Don't just throw money at different media and hope it works. Talk to us and let us show you what we can do for you. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Barbecue Nation. I am JT, along with my co-host, the Hall of Famer, Leanne Whippin, and coming to you from our respective Turn It, Don't Burn It studios. Thank you for sharing your time with us this week. We'd like to thank the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to put on your table, and beef raised the way nature intended. So you can go to paintedhillsbeef.com. Great outfit, great ranchers that work with that program. I've been working with them for, 24 years now or something, a long time, and it's a great product. Well, we've got a very interesting guest today, Brad Baich. Did I say your name, last name right?
Yes, that's correct. Baich,
okay.
Yeah.
Brad Baich. Okay. Brad is known as the Butcher Wizard online on YouTube. He's got a book, if you can see that, Primal Cuts. He speaks our language here, especially when he's talking about dead cows. And it's all good. Brad, welcome.
Yes, hey, thanks welcome. For having me. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Let's give him a 2-minute thumbnail of your history before we get started into the meat of the matter. You're a chef. You've worked all over food services. You've worked in grocery stores. I know that much about you. Kind of fill in the blanks.
Yeah. So basically, I've always worked in food since I was 16 years old. I was the only kind of job I've ever had. And I've been through, I went to culinary school. I've taught culinary school. I've worked in fine dining and, you know, casual dining restaurants. So I've kind of done, you know, grocery stores, like you're saying, butcher shops, the kind of the whole gamut of the food service industry. When I found myself as a stay-at-home dad, I have 4 kids. So I found myself just, like I said, staying at home. And then I decided I really wanted to get back into teaching. So I was like, you know what, I'll just throw some things on YouTube and see what happens. And then my 8th video ever on butchery went kind of viral. I got a million views in 4 days. And so that was a very interesting and overwhelming experience. And then I'm like, okay, maybe there's something to this. First I thought it was luck. And then I was like, I'll try something, some more stuff. And, you know, a couple of videos later, I got another video that went to over a million views in kind of a similar fashion. And the rest is kind of history. Now we're sitting at like 40,000 subscribers. We, you know, the cookbook has come out. We have just all kinds of things going on. And, you know, just kind of fun teaching people how to save a ton of money on meat, on cutting meat themselves.
And that's what I noticed in the book. And that's what caught my attention was the fact that you were talking about cuts that the general public are not familiar with, yet they are readily available in the supermarket, or you could go to a butcher and ask for it. And I'm sure they cut it for you. But that's what piqued my interest, as well as, you know, the recipes that go along with it. It's a well laid out book. And I really enjoyed what I've read of it so far. So
well, thank you. Yeah, it was a crazy experience to do a cookbook. I was kind of in a season of life where I was just going to say yes to everything. Like, I've never done it before, so let's do it. And then, unfortunately, I realized how much work it is to put a cookbook together. So I enlisted my wife, so I'm the idea person, and she is like the person who puts, you know,
executes.
Yeah. So yeah. She did all the pictures. She did most of the writing. I would just, we would cook together and I would say like, hey, this is what I'm thinking. And she would make it sound good. So it was a great project that both of us did, but yeah, it was a ton of work, but yeah, really proud of the cookbook as it sits. So.
You should be. Mm-hmm. Do you think, Brad, that you've noticed over your career, I know I have, that folks like us, we go to up here, they call it the chef's store, which is one resource. And of course, there's Costco and all that. And you can go there and buy clods and knuckles and whatever you want, right? But I think a lot of people are afraid of that. And your book helps them get through that. But they have a fear because, you know, they look at it and they go, I don't know what this whole chuck is. Although they've bought pieces of it before in the grocery store. You know, one of my favorite steaks is a little chuck steak. They're very tender, and we can get into that later. But do you think it's people's fear? Because like you said, you can save a ton of money. You can go in and pay at today's prices of $150 or whatever it is for chuck, but you can get $300 at retail. I'm making up numbers, obviously, but you know, of chuck roasts and steaks and blah, 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 like that. But do you think it's their kind of like, I don't know how to do that?
Yeah, I think it is basically the unknown. Anything that you don't know how to do is very intimidating at first. Yeah. And real for the home cook to realize that like these things are available, like you can buy a whole chuck roll, you can buy a whole ribeye and cut it yourself and save a lot of money. Like, and these individual skills are not like, it's not that difficult to figure out. Again, I don't want to diminish anything that the butchers across the country do.
Sure. Because,
like when you're talking about the big stuff, like breaking down a whole cow, a whole animal, a half or whatever, it takes technical precision and all that stuff. But what I do is kind of like, take these, make it more relatable to the home cook of like, okay, you can take a whole ribeye and just kind of slice it and save a bunch of money. A little bit of minimal trim, you know, it's really easy to do and you save a ton of money. I think the most complicated thing that I have done or I do on my channel is that chuck roll where you can take out a Denver steak and a chuck eye steak and then you can get chuck roast out of it and ground meat and ground chuck.
I mean,
I just think like these things are available and it's not that difficult for the home cook to do. It takes a little bit of practice. And like I always say, people like have told me a lot that they're intimidated because what happens if I mess it up? And I keep telling them like, well, the worst
thing you make ground beef.
The worst thing that happens, we got dinner. We still got dinner. You know, like it's you can't really mess it up that much. That it's that you know, you can't mess up that much. Is why.
Well, I think it's great that you have a YouTube channel. You know, that couples with the book, so they can visually see what you're doing. It isn't just in a book, so that's nice too. It's another reference tool, and people I think are more relatable to seeing and repeating what they're looking at versus looking at it on a page in a book. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know, what's kind of funny is on YouTube, you know, the YouTube videos are kind of like a whole thing, right? It's a whole like who gets served what. And it's funny because my background is a culinary background. And every time I will put a video about cooking the meat on my channel, it doesn't do as well as cutting the meat because I just kind of put in that little area of YouTube. But that was what the cookbook kind of helped me out with, was like, hey, there was 100 recipes in there. And it's like, that's just kind of my whole career in a book. So it was things I came up with through or things I brainstormed and came up with, but also things that I have picked up along my career in the restaurant industry. So it was kind of nice to be like, okay, I'm not just talking about cutting meat. We're going to that's what my background is. And I love to cook and I love to share that. And it was just, the book was a great opportunity for me to do that.
Yeah. I think one of the things too, is that taking it from, I think on YouTube, you can find everything, even up to brain surgery on YouTube. So if you want to use it, you know, it's a great tool in that respect. But I think like you were talking about buying a whole chuck roll and the trim, even the trim on a strip loin, whatever. If you've got like a KitchenAid stand mixer and you buy the attachments, you never mm-hmm. have to buy hamburger again. You know what I mean?
You're speaking my language.
I mean, I don't know when I've bought hamburger in the last few years. You know, I just, because I get the big ones. I know Leanne does the same thing too. Mm-hmm. I trim it. I throw it in the fridge or the freezer. And then when I get enough of it, I make some ground, you know, mm-hmm. and it's Absolutely. Great.
Yeah. It's, and that, because that is kind of like the, so for butcher shops in, you know, to speak about butcher shops in the United States, like it is a difficult business to do. And, oh, yeah. and that's how a ton of them stay in business is the ground meat. Because again, they're cutting, you know, strips, ribeyes, tenderloins, things like that. And then they are grinding the trim and making a delicious ground beef. And that is a way that they're using a, like, I won't say it's not a waste product, but it's quote unquote a waste product.
Yeah.
They're going to go ahead and make a revenue stream out of. So you can do the same thing in your house. You can make your own, you can make your kitchen into your own butcher shop. And I think that's what I really want to do is teach people like, yeah, you can just do this all yourself. And it's not only rewarding because you did it yourself, but it's also like fills the freezer, feeds your family, all this stuff. And you save money doing it. So,
yeah, I remember as a kid, my mom worked in a grocery store and I used to go out and hang out with Kenny the Butcher, right? And he was quite the character. Most butchers are characters. I noticed that too. But there was, they had a big garbage can there, and all the trim back in those days pretty much went in the fat and stuff went in the garbage can. They don't do that anymore. Of course, if you go to your Sam's Club or Albertsons, whatever, Safeways, like that, most of it is boxed meat now that comes in. So they're not doing a lot of trimming, but mm-hmm. some of the stores that still have actual meat departments with cutters back there and stuff, I think they still do that. That's what they put in the tray in the cold case there, you know?
Yeah. And you can kind of tell the difference of like, and that is the sad part about the butchering the beef industry is that it is getting more to like, you know, places, big box stores, places like Walmart, Target, stuff like that. Yeah. These big, like they just get things already in the packaging. And yeah. So finding those places that do still cut is rare. And you just want to like support that local business if you can. If you're lucky enough to have a great local butcher shop, I mean, that's like a prize. Nowadays that's like a prize possession, you know.
Absolutely.
I feel like they've come back a little bit. I've seen some pop up here in Tampa, strictly butcher shops, which is great.
Yeah, because I think the trend too is going to that. The interesting thing about butcher shops nowadays, what I've seen, is they have to kind of go up market. So they have to, so they can't compete with the prices of a Costco or a Walmart or whatever. So what they'll do, what a lot of butcher shops doing now is like they're going up market. So they're going to have a higher grade of beef. They might have USDA Prime. They might have American Wagyu. They might have Japanese Wagyu. Like they're kind of doing some upmarket things to differentiate because they can't compete on price with these huge conglomerates that, like, you know,
sure.
can buy stuff at so cheaply.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Brad Beach, his new book, Primal Cuts, the cookbook, right after this. Stay with us.
Ready for a new ride? Choose from over 1,000 vehicles at Weston Kia, like a new Kia Sportage, Soul, Forte, K4, Sorento, Telluride, or Carnival. Gas, electric, or hybrid. Oregon's all-time leader in Kia sales. Everyone wins at Weston.
1994 to January 2026, Weston Kia has sold more new Kias than any other Kia dealer in Oregon. Reported by Kia Corp.
Hey everybody, it's Jeff here. I want to tell you about something really cool. Heritage Steel Cookware. I just got mine. I do a lot of cooking, and it's got 5-ply construction stay cool handles. It's titanium strengthened. It's got all the great stuff. Just go to heritagesteel.us and find out more. You'll love it. I guarantee it.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Leanne, and we've got Brad Beach today with his new book, Primal Cuts. It's a great book, by the way. If you're into saving money number one, and two, feeding your family some good quality meats, especially beef. That's what we're focused on here. I would recommend this book and watch Brad's stuff on YouTube. Let's go back to, let's talk about Christmas for a second. The big thing is, you know, everybody wants a prime rib, and we know the misnomers with calling it a prime rib versus just a rib roast, blah, 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 blah. And people can discuss that all day long if they want. I haven't bought a store cut, if you will, rib roast in 35 years, probably.
Awesome.
Excuse me. Something like that. But it's not very hard to trim those up. You know, there's the fat cap on it. If you want to, now our buddy Meathead, he always trims off the spinellus and saves that for later. Some people, I leave it on because I actually think that's the best part. But mm-hmm. I'm a fat guy, literally and figuratively. So walk us through that, if you would, Brad, because I think that's one that people may be afraid of trimming out a chuck. But on that, or even the strip loin, because I always tell people too, like at Christmas, if you can't afford the rib roast, go with a whole strip loin. It'll save you a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So as far as prime ribs are concerned, again, you open up a whole can of worms on the prime rib, but like
that was the intent.
Yeah. So the taking off the spinalis too is I like to say it's like, how much do you like all the people who are coming over for dinner? So if you want to take off that spinalis, is like the perfect bite. Like that is the beautiful, it's well marbled, it's delicious. It's probably the best bite on the whole cow, in my opinion.
Yep.
So I agree.
You can take that off and trim that off and then make the rest into a prime rib, or you can keep it on. Like I said, it depends on how much do you like the people who are coming over? And so you can, cause you can take this spinalis, you can roll it up and tie it and make it into its own steak, which is awesome. Like it's basically just, it's cheating because it's taking the best bite on the cow and then rolling it up into its own steak. But it is, so as far as prime ribs go for the holidays, like even in the other times of the year, Easter, Mother's Day, sometimes people put them on sale, like different things. The prime rib is the easiest thing to cut. The ribeye is very easy to cut on its own, because basically what you do is you go to a Sam's, you go to a Costco, you go to a place that sells, that cuts their own meat, and then you just get an entire ribeye, a whole ribeye, and you just cut the amount that you want to make, like you want to make for, it's one slice. It really is like, it's a rectangular piece of meat like this big, and you just come over, okay? I usually say like 1 inch per person, because once it cooks, you know, that's kind of around the quick and dirty kind of method.
Yeah.
You just slice it down and then you tie it up and you have your prime rib. There is very, very little trim. You can trim a little bit off if there's big pieces of fat in there, but like it couldn't be easier. And it is very cost effective to do so, because you can just save a ton of money that way. It's super easy. And like back to the strip loin, that is also like my family is more of a lean steak you know, tenderloins, they like strips, they like stuff like that. So the big streak of fat that goes through the prime rib that never really renders for them is kind of off-putting. So for them, I will make a strip roast, like you're saying, where you take the whole strip, you cut off the same portion of meat, tie it up, roast it just like you would a prime rib. And it's a little leaner and it is super delicious. So there are lots of ways that you can take these holiday, these special occasion things, and really change the cut of meat, cut it yourself, and save a ton of money.
So I have a question for you. Obviously, I think having an extra freezer these days is a must. And a lot of these things, you're going to have leftover meat. Your recommendation on storing meat for the freezer. Cryovacking, I'm assuming, is what you think is best to get all the air out, or do you have another suggestion?
So yeah, so vacuum sealing is the best way to go, because it, like I said, it does take all that oxygen out. So that is the best way to make sure you can keep it in the freezer or even keep it in the refrigerator for a long period of time. You can slightly, if you don't have a vacuum sealer, you can use like a gallon, like a freezer bag kind of thing, as long as you can pull the oxygen out. I have a video on my channel all about this, about how you can do it in several different ways, where you submerge the bag in water and that pushes the oxygen out.
Right.
And you can, that's like an okay version, but it's better than just taking the Ziploc bag and zipping it up. Then you can do that. Or like the best way, like I said, is a vacuum sealer, because that is what you're going to ensure that the oxygen is not in there. And then it's going to last, you know, it can last up to a year in the freezer, sometimes more. You know, it can last a couple months in the refrigerator. So it's really, that's the best way to go.
And that's where you, I do the same thing with my trim. I had a pile, I vacuum seal it, throw it in there, because I don't always have enough to make enough grind right then. But through the course of a few months, coming into spring for us, of course, it's grilling season and all that, you get more. Then you can make a, you know, 3, 4, 5 pounds of grind.
Absolutely. That is the best way to do it. You just kind of keep packaging everything. You store it away. And then all of a sudden your freezer gets full and you're like, oh, I need to take care of this. In fact, this is where I'm at right now. I think this weekend I'm going to have to like have a grind day, because I have a freezer. I have two freezers that are full and I'm like, okay, I got to pull stuff out and start to grind it.
But it's a good problem to have. I'll put it that way. It's a good problem to have. What's the number one question, Brad, that people ask you if they see you in person or they email you, what have you, via your work on YouTube? What's the number one question they ask you about trimming meat? And let me throw this monkey in there. Is it like they're kind of hesitant because they think they might trim too much or not enough?
I think the biggest thing that I find is that people don't, you know, have the basic knowledge about how much money they can save with just a minimal amount of work. And it's really easy to do. I try to tell people, like, oh, it's really easy to start. I have a community of people in which we talk every week, or we talk 2 times a month, where there are a bunch of people in there who have not actually done one of the projects yet. And I'm like, you got to start. You just got to do it. And they're worried about messing it up. And I think that's the thing. As long as you know, it takes minimal equipment. We're talking about a sharp knife, a cutting board, and getting the meat and a way to preserve it. And I think that is the biggest thing, is getting people's confidence. Because because we've gotten so far, this is going to be on our soapbox a little bit, but like, we've gotten so far away from, where our meat comes from, that people think it's like magic that it happens and into the grocery store and it's in that cellophane and the styrofoam pack, and that's how I buy meat. And it's like, it's not a magic trick. It is just a skill that anyone can learn and anyone can do. I think that is the biggest thing, is getting people the confidence to say, like, hey, yo, I can do this. You know, this is not something that is, you know, this is not something that is reserved for someone who has 25 years of experience. You can take these simple projects that we do and make something and save money and get a better product, frankly.
There you go. We have to take another break. We'll be back with Brad and Leanne right after this. Don't go away.
Hey, everybody. It's JT, and I have eaten, if you've ever looked at me, you know that, but I have eaten seafood all over the world, and I can tell you there's no place better than here in Oregon and our Dungeness crab. If you want to learn more about Oregon Dungeness crab, just go to OregonDungeness.org and find out how to cook it, how to catch it, where to buy it, and the sustainability of what they're doing there in the Oregon Crab Commission. Check it out.
Welcome back to the Nation, Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Hall of Famer Leanne Whippin. And today we've got, as soon as I swallow and breathe here, we've got Brad Baich with us. Brad is the author of the new Primal Cuts cookbook. Focuses on beef on that cookbook, and it's a good read, and it's kind of a how-to manual in a way also, I think. And that's a good thing for people. You break it down more on your YouTube videos, but for basics, I think that's really good. If you look behind me, that's a Terrace Major or Petite Tender or whatever people want to call them these days. I think that's one of the most overlooked cuts of beef.
That's so funny you say that, because I'm looking at that right now in the book.
Hey, if you start talking about things out of the chuck, like a Terrace Major, or we are going to be best friends forever, because I am Terrace Major is an awesome cut. It really is.
Yeah.
Well, I used to do this thing down at the Oregon Ducks game, and no, I'm not an Oregon Duck, but I was paid to do it. All right. But I would get Terrace Majors, and I could trick people into thinking they were fillets. I could. And they were like, oh, yeah, this is great. Well, yeah, it's I think it's one of the best cuts of meat, but they didn't know the way I, you know, rounded it out and trimmed it a little bit. And they'd have these little fillets there, and they were like, oh man, I'm telling you folks, if you can find them, get them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the trick with those is finding them, because there's a couple things going against us already. Like the amount of different names that the Terrace Major has is
right.
Crazy. So the Terrace Major is a small cut that's on the shoulder clod and in the chuck. So you have a very tender cut of meat, very flavorful, but it is a smaller cut. So it's like, it's about a pound, I would say.
Yeah.
And they are hard to find. They're called like a petite tender, bistro tender. There's all kinds of different names that people have for them, but they are a great cut. And like you're saying, you know, you can cook them just like you would a tenderloin. You know, I would say that like they're not quite as tender as a fillet, but they're way more flavorful. So they have much more of that beefy flavor, because the tenderloin gets a bad rap of like not being, you know, being tender, but not being very beefy, have that big beefy flavor.
Yeah.
So I think the Terrace Major does have like the best of both worlds. And it's like, I think I did a video not too long ago about them. I think I got them for like $9 a pound. You know, when we're talking about a tenderloin or a fillet at a grocery store going for like $35 a pound,
Absolutely.
Definitely is a good.
And you can do creative stuff, not tooting my own horn here, but that was kind of we call that one Northwest Wellington. It was just a beef Wellington knockoff that I did. Works great. People loved it. If I did that for real, that was a $80 dish, you know.
Sure.
That was a $30 dish. And so I rest my case there.
I know it's a great cut. I all the things that come off the chuck, all these little cuts that I've talked about, like it, the chuck is my favorite primal cut. If I had to pick one, that would be my favorite. So chuck eyes and Denver steaks and Terrace Majors, these are the hidden value that you have to kind of know about, but it's just tremendous, the amount of flavor you get and the tenderness that you get from these little tiny pieces of the chuck.
What's your least favorite of the primals?
I've never been asked this question. Okay. So I would say, you know, the hardest cuts I think to cook are the round cuts. Things from the round, top round, bottom round. You know, I do a lot of beef jerky, do a lot of roast beef, things like that. It just, because it's leaner and doesn't have a lot of fat in it, it's really hard. They're really easy to dry out, really easy to become, you know, not good. So it's they're trickier to cook.
Yeah.
And I think if I had to pick, that would probably be my least favorite.
And that can be some chewy stuff back there if you do it wrong. One of the things we've seen a real rise in over the last, I don't know, Leanne, what would you say, 10 or 15 years, are like flat irons, skirts.
Oh, for sure.
That blank. Type of blank. Yeah, because it all came from.
And the price has gone up accordingly.
The price has gone up accordingly. But it's, you know, for not wasting. Some of that stuff used to just get, pardon the expression, they just got chucked. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If they didn't use it in grind. But I remember we never saw skirt steaks when I was a kid in the grocery store. You know, it just. Didn't mean they didn't exist, but we never saw them. So I think a lot of people, especially with like flat irons, you can do a lot of stuff with flat irons. Mm-hmm. I do this thing where I take them and I strip them out, and then I kind of cook them in a wok, and they've got a lot of juice and broth with them like that. And I put some mushrooms in it, and then I serve it over, you know, like mashed potatoes or rice or noodles, whatever you want to do. But there's so many things with like those cuts now that you can do other than just throwing them on the grill or in a skillet, however you want to cook it, and they work out great.
Very little waste too.
Yeah, very little waste. Of those that I mentioned, what do you think is the easiest one to work with to trim out, Brad, and easiest to cook?
Yeah. So I, you know, I love flat irons like that. That is another one that has, you know, popped up in the chuck again. Here we go. Favorite primal cut.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that is, you see a lot of those nowadays, like even in my local Costco, they started having a two pack of flat irons. Those are great for dry heat cooking, moisty cooking. Like it all kind of like they're very versatile. And like we talked about the Terrace Major, very versatile. You can dry heat cook it. You can throw it on the grill. You can saute it, or you can braise it and it just becomes shreddable, you know, and those kind of things. So it's some of these versatile cuts that I really enjoy because again, you don't want to be, when you're talking about cooking them, you don't want to be like, you know, I want to have the same cut that I could do several recipes with because I don't know exactly what I'm going to want to cook that day. So I think those are really, really helpful to do that with.
You said something scary a little while ago about keeping meat in the refrigerator for a month or 2 months. And everyone looks at, you know, the best by date or use by date. And you're talking months now. I mean, I know I've aged briskets in the refrigerator before, but when you say that length of time, are you trying to do that to age your meat? Or what's the purpose? And can you explain to everyone why it doesn't go bad?
So yeah, what I was talking about with that is under vacuum seal. So I guess I should definitely make that caveat. So when you take out the oxygen of there, it lasts a ton longer than people think. And that is, you know, that's where you can do a month in the refrigerator. You know, and a lot of people too, when we're talking about when you're going and buying a whole ribeye from, you know, from a Costco, right? So in that CryoVac pack, those are actually wet aged. Like they have been, it has traveled a great distance before you have gotten it. And if it's vacuum sealed and if you just let it sit there, it's going to last for a month or so in the refrigerator, no matter what the best buy date is. Now, this is that CryoVac pack. That is that vacuum seal pack. So I'm not talking about like the styrofoam and cellophane that you get at the grocery store. That's different. But if you don't pierce that seal and it has that vacuum seal, it's going to last a long time, even in your refrigerator. And I think people also, you know, don't feel confident. They're like, okay, I can't buy this because I'm not going to cook 14 ribeyes in the next, you know, 5 days. So if you can treat it right and really get that environment right, package it correctly, it'll last a long time.
And I take it that if you cut it open, it doesn't pass the smell test, you know, it's no good.
Yeah, but here's a I have
but
not
I mean really, aging gives you a smell. I get that, but
yeah, but I you know I haven't even if it is vacuum sealed properly, you're gonna it's gonna last a lot longer than you think it will. You know, again, always use your senses. You know, that's just the restaurant person in me too. Of like, always use your senses and be like, that doesn't smell right. Okay, that's not right, but. You're not going to run into that with these cryovac packs. If it's vacuum sealed properly, you know, you're not, yeah, I have not seen that. When I was in the state, when I worked in a steakhouse when I was one of my first fine dining jobs, and they would stack all of the meat in the meat locker or in the walk-in cooler. And it would, we rotate it obviously, but it would just sit, it would sit there for at least a month. Before yeah. it got opened and trimmed. And then, you know, once you open it up and it, you know, trim it and you get, it gets exposure to oxygen. Now we're talking about 4 or 5 days, you know, three days.
The clock's whatever. Ticking.
But yeah, now the clock starts. Yeah. So if you want to do a clock analogy. Now, as soon as you open that package, now the clock starts.
Yeah.
A big question that, oh, sorry. Go ahead, Jeff.
No, go ahead.
A big question that I get, even though I'm not a butcher, but it relates to meat, is somebody's defrosted their hamburger or their steak. Oh, and I didn't eat it. Can I put it back in the freezer? That's always the question I get. Well, how would you answer that?
Yeah. So I know it's a big kind of like misnomer. I don't know. It's like people are afraid about refreezing stuff. I have done it. Through just working with this channel and working with, you know, having a big package of meat and then having to refreeze it, I find very little problems with thawing and refreezing meat. As long as we're taking care of it with that vacuum seal process or some sort of keeping that oxygen away as much as possible. It just to me is, I think it's one of those things that like people think is you can't refreeze meat. I don't believe that. I think you can.
I don't either.
Refreeze meat. I think you can. It's just a, is there a little bit of degradation? Probably, but it's so not noticeable to most, to people that you're not even going to notice. Now, I would not do this 5 or 10 times. I would not continually do it. But if you're talking about like, I got a package from the grocery store and I had to thaw it out and refreeze it, I don't think you have a problem.
No, I don't think you do either. We're going to take a break and we're going to come back and wrap up the show with Brad Bache, author of Primal Cuts. Great book. And we're going to talk more about that in a minute.
Ready for a new ride? Choose from over 1,000 vehicles at Westin Kia, like a new Kia Sportage, Soul, Forte, K4, Sorento, Telluride, or Carnival. Gas, electric, or hybrid. Oregon's all-time leader in Kia sales. Everyone wins at Westin.
1994 to January 2026, Westin Kia sold more new Kias than any other Kia dealer in Oregon, reported by Kia Corp.
Hey, everybody. JT here. I want to tell you about Hammerstahl knives. Hammerstahl combines German steel with beautiful and functioning designs. They're part of the Heritage Steel Group, which also does their pots and pans. So go to heritagesteel.com. US. Check out the Hammerstahl knives. If you're really into cooking, I think you're really going to like them. Welcome back to the Nation, Barbecue Nation. I'm JT with Miss Leanne, and today we've got Brad Bache with us. Brad has got a very successful YouTube channel, The Butcher Wizard. How'd you come up with that?
I like it.
Yeah, it was kind of, I had a couple of ideas going through. Like, again, I never thought anyone would actually watch any of the videos. So it was kind of like, okay, I had a couple of ideas and this one just kind of stuck with me. And, you know, like all good internet things, the domain was available. So that's
there you go.
Where you decide a lot of names.
There you go. Yeah. Your book will lay to rest a lot of folklore, if you will, witches' tales. I don't know. You're a wizard, so I guess I can use the word witch there to do that. What's the biggest thing you think that after writing the book and interacting with people, what's the biggest thing you think you've put to rest as far as those old wives' tales about? We were just talking about it in the last segment. You know, can you refreeze meat? There's lots of that, you know, that goes on. If people
my thing is, if people actually went through a plant where they're harvesting, that's a nice way to put it these days, and did that, they might become a vegetarian. I don't know. But that stuff doesn't bother me because I grew up on a farm. But what's the biggest misnomer you think, Brad, that you put to rest?
I think it's teaching people like all of the different ways you can use the same cut. So all the things that come off of it. So if we're going to go ahead and spend money and cut a whole ribeye or a whole strip, how can we use the trim? How can we like really utilize everything and use it in a different way? You know, like making beef tallow, making ground beef, using like, there's so many ways that you can use these same cuts. And like, just for instance, like the strip loin, it's a very, you know, easy kind of like project to start with. And you can make all kinds of different cuts. You can take the fat and make beef tallow. You can grind the ground, grind the trim for ground beef. You can make Manhattan fillets, which I think was one of my favorite cuts that you can't ever find anywhere. But it's basically just, you make a strip look like a fillet. That's, you know, so it's called a Manhattan fillet. And it's like, it's really nice because it has more texture. So it's more texture than a fillet and it just has more flavor. And there's just different things you can do with the same cut of meat. So you're not just like, okay, I bought some New York strips from the grocery store and we're going to throw them on the grill. And that was the same as last week or the month before, or the, you know, it's just how you can transform that same cut of meat into something that's completely different.
Well, I think that one of the things you write about in the book is the different grades, right? And some breeds, some different things have a slightly different grading system than your standard. There's one of them. USDA grades, you know what I mean? You go in there like that. And you know, large chains are not above going, hey, this is Bob's Select. Well, Bob's telling you, he's selling you crappy meat if you're, you know, but it's all in the marketing too. And I think that, people should be aware of that. And we've talked about Costco in extensively here. They go in and they'll list it. That's like prime or choice, what have you, you know, like that. And I think that's so important because I always counsel people to buy the best that you can afford, you know. Budgets get tight and no, you can't do prime. Sometimes you can't do choice. There's a price difference, but get the best you can to make the experience enjoyable.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is kind of a, I would say, a little bit of a minefield, because most people, when they go to the grocery store, they buy their food, they buy their steak from the price tag, right? They're like, right, okay, this is what I can afford. This is what I want to spend or whatever. And then being able to know, okay, this is kind of like this cut and this, it's a cheaper version of this cut, or you can, you know, this says prime, but like, okay, maybe I just need choice, you know,
right?
Maybe I won't know, you know, what I'm doing with it. There's also like when I was in the butcher shop too, it was kind of like almost like a butcher therapy session where you'd be like, okay, they say, I want to do this. Okay. Like, what's your recipe? What are you trying to make? And maybe you don't need this cut that the recipe says you do, because we've all had those recipes on.
Yeah, like chili, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Stew, all had those recipes whatever, like on Pinterest or whatever. And they're like, you know, maybe I don't need that exact cut of meat. And you talk to your butcher, you talk to someone, or you watch a YouTube video and you're like, okay, what can I substitute? What can I do that's maybe a little bit cheaper? What can I do that's going to give me a better product than a better outcome than what this recipe says? So I think, you know, that's also a part of the game, is like, what are you trying to get out of this piece of meat? And how can I get it there?
I think that's so important. And I think that Well, education is always important for people, no matter what we're talking about, but especially when it comes to food and beef because of the pricing these days. And I'll tell you, folks, the prices are not going to come down. They're not. We've talked about it that with Will Homer from Painted Hills. You know, we don't have the amount of cattle in this country that we used to. We're down a few hundred thousand head, and they're trying to get them back, but that just doesn't happen overnight. So I think you need to be wise with your choices. If you could give our listeners and viewers one piece of advice, Brad, what would it be? Buy the book.
Yeah.
Buy the book first, right? I would say experiment. Like, be able to experiment, be able to try different things. I think that one of the reasons that my channel has been so successful is because people are interested in this as a hobby and as a way not only to save money, but also to learn where your meat comes from, to learn what the cuts are on the cow. Like, it's a cool thing. It's like you can go to your barbecue and be like, yeah, you know, I cut this myself. And yeah. I think that's an underrated part of what I do and what I want to teach is like, yeah, you need to know that, hey, this is what your ribeye that you threw on the grill, this is what it looks like in this big form. This is what it looks like. And this is where it is on the cow. So I think for my big, my advice would be to learn about how to cut your own meat, where it comes from. And just the more knowledge you have, the better.
I think that's good advice. Where can people find the book without calling your PR company? Tell them where to find you online, your YouTube and all that.
Yeah. So the book is called Primal Cuts. It is on, Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, anywhere good books are sold, right?
There you go.
So it can be found online a lot of different places. My YouTube is Butcher Wizard. I'm pretty much Butcher Wizard everywhere, but YouTube is where I spend most of my time. I have a private members only community called the Primal Cuts Club. That's primalcutsclub.com. If you want to go a little bit deeper, these are the crazy few who want to even go, even deeper into what we do. So, I'm everywhere. So it's, thank you for bringing me on and introducing me to your audience. I really appreciate it.
No problem. We got to get out of here. Brad is going to stick around for after hours. So for Leanne and myself, we thank you. And for Brad, we thank you for being here. And as we always say here, remember our motto, turn it, don't burn it. And we'll be back again with another show. Take care, everybody.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Salem Media Group. All rights reserved.